All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Hate to break up the fellowship, but it is time to go ahead and begin our Sunday evening worship services, whether you're online or in person. Thank you for being with us. And as we get started, our first song will be number 2, We Praise Thee, O God. We pray. For the opening prayer will be number 552. Have thy own way.
Father, we thank thee for the opportunity we're given tonight to come and assemble ourselves and sing praises to thee and study thy word. We thank you for the health that allow us to be here, but we pray, Heavenly Father, you be with those that do not have the health that they desire, that they can be here, and pray that you can bless them, those that are going through tests and treatments and procedures, and pray that their outcomes will be good. Be with them and comfort them, Heavenly Father, in this difficulty. Be with those, Heavenly Father, who have recently lost loved ones. Pray that things can be said and done, that can comfort them, and they will have ease of mind. We thank you for the things, Heavenly Father, that are done at this congregation. Pray that you be with the elders as they make decisions. And pray that you would be with them and bless them. Be with us, Heavenly Father, as Tim brings us the lesson tonight. We pray that everything that he says and done is according to thy will. Continue to be with us, Heavenly Father, and we pray that you give us strength and that we bring honor to thy name. And forgive us of our sins. In Christ, let me pray. Amen.
If you're marking the invitation, it'll be number 909. And before we have our lesson this evening, we'll sing a few verses of number 578. And if you can, let's stand as we sing. We will glorify
bow before his throne. We will worship him in righteousness.
Please be seated.
There will be Bible story time tonight. So if your children participate in Bible story time, now is the time to exit and move towards the children's area. Scripture reading tonight is Luke 12, verses 35 through 38. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. Be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and will have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or the third watch and he finds them awake, blessed are those servants.
Good evening. Good to see each of you with us this evening. Glad that you're here. If you're visiting with us, we're really glad you've come our way. And if we can help in any way, please let us know. And welcome also to all of you who are online. Very happy that you're joining us as well. 2 weeks from yesterday is the Men's Day, the Mountain Empire Men's Fellowship. It was originally called, now it's the Mountain Empire Men's Day. Since some of you have trouble with fellowship, we'll call it Men's Day. But it's a great event, and I'm hoping every one of you men have already signed up for it. There is a link in Daily Focus where you can go to the website and register for that. And please do. If you've not done that yet, we need to know how much food to get to prepare for that. And we do hope all of you men will be there for that day. And by men, I mean anybody from age 6 and up, or even 5 and up, if you got a 5-year-old that wants to come. But we really want you to be there. Aaron Gallagher is our featured speaker this year. If you're not familiar with Aaron, go to Gospel Broadcast TV and look for the programs. Authentic Christian is one of them he hosts. Another one is Answering the Error. An excellent speaker, a very reasoned fella, knows the Bible very well. And so I think you're going to be impressed with him. He'll be staying over till Sunday and speak Sunday morning during the Bible school hour as well as worship. And so it's a big weekend coming up, and we hope all of you men will come and join us. But again, if you've not signed up yet, do that. We really want you here. It will be a benefit for you. We know that, so please come and join us in that. But again, good to see all of you with us tonight, and let's get into the Word of God now. Get your Bible out, and let's get ready to study from God's Word. Caller ID is a wonderful thing. Would you agree with that? It tells you whether you want to answer the call or not, because there are calls that we don't want to call, don't want to answer. Sometimes it even tells us suspected spam. And unless you love spam, you're probably not going to answer that call. But what about somebody at the door? If somebody comes to the door, how do you know? Well, if you've got a Ring doorbell or something like that, now you can see who is at the door. But if you only have, if you only have knocking on the door, as some of us do, or an old-fashioned doorbell, then you have to say, well, do I want to answer this or not? And sometimes we do, and we wish we hadn't. And sometimes it's not hard to tell the people that are knocking on the door what their motive is. It may be that they're selling something. It may be, whatever. But somebody's knocking at the door. Now what? Well, there's a passage in Revelation 3 that we're very familiar with. And take it easy, Tim. I'm not going to get into your territory on Wednesday night. But in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus, in writing to the church at Thyatira, makes this statement. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." And you probably have seen the paintings and drawings that have been done picturing this. It has Jesus standing on the outside of a door, knocking on the door. And if you look closely, there's no doorknob on the outside, suggesting that Jesus can't get in unless somebody on the inside opens it for him. Well, Jesus could get in, but the point is, he's giving us that choice. He's knocking at our door. And so tonight, we want to ask the question, why? Why does Jesus want to get in? And more importantly, maybe, how does Jesus knock at my door? I mean, I've never seen Jesus standing outside my door, never heard his voice calling to me audibly. So what do you mean, Jesus? How do you knock on the door of my heart? And I think the Bible gives us some answers to that question. So let's look together at the question about Jesus knocking. And first of all, how? How Jesus knocks. And again, I've never seen Jesus do this, so what are some of the ways? And let me show you some passages in the Bible that suggest ways in which Jesus is seeking our attention, seeking to get us to open up and let him back into our lives. Maybe he's been there and we've shut him out, but now he needs to be back there with us again, of course. Let's go first of all to Amos, the book of Amos in the Old Testament. We're going to read from chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. Amos chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. Now, this doesn't say anything about a door or knocking, but it does talk about God seeking to get the attention of his people Israel. And how does he do that? Well, listen to what it says in Amos chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. He says, "I gave you cleanness of teeth in all your cities." Now, at first you say, wow, free dental cleaning, that's great. No, he's not talking about that. He said, "I gave you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and lack of bread in all your places." And that says, there's a famine. There's not food to eat to make our teeth dirty. And so our teeth are clean because there's been nothing to dirty our teeth with. So he says, "I gave you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and lack of bread in all your places, yet you did not return to me, said the Lord." So God was using that as a way of trying to get their attention, trying to get them to call upon him, let him back into their lives, but it didn't work. He goes on in verse 7, "I also withheld the rain from you. When there was yet 3 months to the harvest, I would send rain on one city and send no rain on another city. One field would have rain, and the field on which it did not rain would wither. So two or three cities would wander to another city to drink water and would not be satisfied. Yet you did not return to me, says the Lord." And so again, we're looking at a natural disaster. In this case, drought. There's no water. And so the crops wither, and that may have been what led to the famine. There's no produce coming in, so there's nothing to eat. In verse 9, yet another one. He says, "I struck you with blight and mildew. Your many gardens and your vineyards, your fig trees and your olive trees, the locusts devoured. Yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. I sent among you a pestilence after the manner of Egypt. I killed your young men with a sword and carried away your horses, and I made the stench of your camp go up into your nostrils. Yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord." And so there in verse 9, another natural disaster, that is pestilence. And he says, you didn't turn back to me. I was trying to get your attention, trying to remind you that you need me, and it didn't work. You wouldn't listen. And then in verse 10, warfare and destruction, but that too failed to get their attention. Now, what are we saying here? Is it God that always sends natural disasters? I'm not going to say that. The Bible doesn't say that. We live in a world where things like that happen as a matter of course. But it does say that sometimes God uses those things to get people's attention. And I wonder, last September, As Hurricane Helene did its damage in our area, did we happen to think about the Lord and say, maybe this is God trying to get our attention? Or back in 2020 when COVID-19 was going on, was that perhaps an example of the pestilence that God sent to get our attention? And again, we don't know sometimes when God sends something or doesn't, but it's always an opportunity to reflect. Is this God knocking? Is this Christ knocking on my door, seeking to get my attention and to get me to turn back to him? Maybe it's been his tactic in the past, and maybe it is in our day as well. But let's go to another passage now. Let's go to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. And if you're familiar with this psalm, it's a beautiful psalm about people in dire circumstances. Some of them are traveling and they get lost. Others are at the sea and a storm is just, you know, making them think there's no hope for us to survive the storm. Others are in prison because of their own wrongdoing. And yet one thing is in common with all of those situations. Let's read verses 4 through 6 of Psalm 107 to get one example. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. Now, this was a really serious situation. Not only were they lost and hungry and thirsty, it says their soul fainted within them. That means they were about to give up hope. There's no way we're going to get through this. And then they called upon the Lord. Then their attention was turned to him. Maybe they heard the knocking. And they said, the Lord can get us out of this. And that's exactly what happened, the psalmist says. The Lord delivered them from their distress. And so there again, maybe it's a situation where we've lost our way and the outlook for our getting out of it is just low. We don't think there's any chance we're going to get through this, and yet we remember the Lord, and we turn to him, and maybe he hears that prayer and delivers us. Maybe not, but at least we remember, because this is a situation too big for us. We've exhausted human resources. We need God's help now. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, another way that Jesus may be knocking. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, again, this is a historical incident, but there's applications for today. Moses said, reminding them of the past 40 years, God humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Here was a situation where they were in great need. They had come out of Egypt. They were now out in the wilderness, and what are we going to eat? Where is there food enough for this large company of Israelites? And for a time, they hungered, and they started complaining against God, and then God provided them with the manna. And what was all of that about? Why did God let them get to the point of hunger? To teach them that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Have we ever been through times of difficulty? Have there been times when we didn't have enough money to pay the bills and we wondered, how am I going to get by? And then we remembered God hears prayers and we turned to the Lord, and maybe on that occasion something amazing happened, something you can't explain, and God came through and delivered us. And again, was that Jesus knocking? The fact that we were up against a hard time and then our minds were brought back to the Lord. When times are good, we say, well, I don't need God so much now. When in reality we do. We always need him as much as we ever do. But here's a time when we hear that knocking and it gets our attention back to the Lord. In Matthew 25, verse 40, let's look at that instance. And again, I think we're looking at a way that Jesus knocks today. He had gone through this list of things. He says, welcome, well done, good and faithful servant. I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was without clothing, I was a stranger, I was sick, I was in prison. And you responded to my needs. And then in verse 40 of Matthew 25, after they say, "Lord, we don't remember ever doing those things for you," the king will answer them, "Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." And so what does that say? It says that every time we see a need, it's Jesus knocking in essence. Jesus is saying, "Will you do something for me? Will you do something for me by helping these, the least of my brothers?" And Jesus, again, is trying to get our attention. You know, sure, we've been blessed. We've got lots of things. But is it all just for our enjoyment, our luxury, and our pleasure? No, we're given a lot of what we're given in order to help others. And God will bless that person. Jesus is trying to get our attention. And when we respond, we show that we have heard his knocking. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Here's another possibility of how Jesus knocks. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Paul says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." Now, here's what I'm proposing. Suppose I'm the one who's gone astray, and some loving Christian brother or sister comes to me and says, we noticed this about you. You've not been doing this. You've been doing that. We're concerned about you." And how do I respond? Do I say, "Mind your own business. I've got my own life to live"? Or do I say, "The Lord sent you"? Maybe I don't say it out loud, but they're following the command that Jesus gives to go to that person and try to recover them for the Lord. And maybe I'm on the other side and I see somebody that is going astray, somebody that is not doing as they should. Do I respond? Do I say, "Well, that's not really my business," when it's exactly what Paul says is our business? You who are spiritual, go to that person, try to recover them. You see, there again, we're hearing the knocking of our Lord. It's a situation that needs some response. Are we going to do what the Lord asks us to do? Romans chapter 2, verse 4, consider this one as well. And here we're talking more about the passing of time. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, "Do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance?" And maybe we are in a sin of some sort, or maybe we've never responded to the Lord. We're still not a Christian, and time is passing, and it's all due to the patience of the Lord. But how long will he stay outside knocking on my door? Will there come a day when he's not there, or I don't hear his knocking anymore? Or a day when I just don't have the opportunity because my life is over? And so once again, this is when I need to listen and hear the knocking of the Lord. There's so many ways the Bible talks about in which we're to be attentive and to respond to whatever it is the Lord has said. These are just a few suggestions. But let's go back to Revelation 3 verse 20, because there's another detail there we haven't talked about yet. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, Jesus again said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me." Now, how do we hear his voice? I've never heard Jesus' voice audibly. At least I didn't recognize it if I did. Does Jesus speak to us? That's what he says. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door. Well, I think that brings to mind a passage we've looked at a couple of times in the last two or three weeks. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, Paul was talking about their role as apostles. I think it applies to any of us who are serving the Lord. He says, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us." God making his appeal through us. "We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." And so anytime I take the word of God to somebody and use it as an attempt to get them to live right, they hear the voice of Jesus. It's my voice, of course, that is articulating the words, but it's the words of Jesus, the words of God. And so if anybody hears my voice and opens the door, let's take the word of God to more people. But now let's move on to another question. With Jesus standing there knocking on the door, we've talked about how he knocks, and I've given you some suggestions of how that might happen. Now, why does he knock? Why does he knock? And again, sometimes there are visual cues. If somebody knocks on my door and I look out through the curtain or through the Ring camera, whatever I've got, I can see maybe. If it's two people, both of them holding Bibles, I kind of know why they're there, and that diminishes the chances I'm going to open the door, I guess. Or if they're carrying a vacuum cleaner or a suitcase, a showcase of supplies, again, we kind of know. Or if they're carrying a bouquet of balloons and a great big check, I may open the door for that. Well, the idea is, why is Jesus there? Because sometimes that makes a difference on whether we open the door or not. Jesus tells us why he knocks. Again, let's go one more time to Revelation 3, verse 20. He tells us why. He says in Revelation 3, verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me." Now, is Jesus just looking for a free meal? No, no, that's not the idea at all. Let me share something from Craig Keener in his New Testament background commentary about what this is referring to. Table fellowship was a sign of intimacy and committed the guest and host to friendly relations. Jesus here invites the Laodicean Christians to dine in the present at the Messianic banquet. It is an invitation to a genuinely lavish banquet. It's not that Jesus is looking to eat your food. He wants you to enter into his fellowship in which you're going to be greatly blessed. And so Jesus says, I want us to really draw close to each other. I have things you need, whether you recognize it yet or not. And the Laodiceans obviously didn't when you look at that letter to the church there. But he says, I can bless you, and it's all available free. It won't cost you anything other than commitment. But let's look at another statement of Jesus, John 10, verse 10. We know this one very well. John chapter 10 and verse 10, where Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." If there's somebody outside my door offering to really bless me in ways that are just unimaginable, then I know that. I'm not going to delay. I'm going to open the door before they leave because you are offering me something really wonderful. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing. He's knocking at the door of our heart because I want you to have life and have it abundantly. Not talking about material wealth, although you may get that. He's talking about the inner wealth, the riches in heaven. And that's what will endure through the ages, through eternity. That's what Jesus wants to give us. And then in Luke chapter 15 and verse 4, another reason why Jesus may be knocking at the door of our heart. Luke chapter 15 and verse 4, and this is in that very familiar parable of the lost sheep. Jesus said, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it?" And if you're lost, if you've wandered away, that's why Jesus is knocking at your door. Thank the Lord that he's knocking at your door. At the moment, you may be a little annoyed by it. You may be thinking, well, I've made my choice. I'm living the life I choose. But thanks to the patience and the long-suffering of the Lord, we're given another opportunity to turn away from sin that will destroy us and to come back to the pathway of life. Many who seek our time through phone calls or front porch visits are there to take something from us. Jesus, with him, it's all good. He's there to offer us what we do not have on our own and what we desperately need. And I want to remind you of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 as we're talking about why Jesus knocks. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, Peter observed, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise as some count slowness, but is patient toward you." He's patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. He's concerned about you, all of us. And if we are outside the fold of safety, Jesus will keep on knocking. We may stop listening. We may get to the point where we just don't even hear it anymore. But if we still hear the knocking, if we still feel that urge, that impulse, we need to respond. I found a website that claimed to have 157 funny knock-knock jokes guaranteed to crack you up. Let's try one. Knock, knock, who's there? Voodoo. Voodoo who? Voodoo, do you think you are asking me so many questions? Cracked you up, didn't it? That's why I don't like knock-knock jokes. And don't try any on me tonight. I'm not in the mood tonight. Luke chapter 12 is not a joke. Luke chapter 12, verses 35 and 36. Dennis read it earlier. Let's listen again. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him, that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. It's not a joke. It's going to happen. The Lord is going to return one day, and we will open the door whether we want to or not. But he's also knocking at the door of our hearts, our free will, at this moment. And so if you hear that knock and you're not a Christian, friend, don't delay. Open the door. Obey the gospel. Confess your faith that Jesus is God's Son. Turn away from your sins, repenting of it. Be baptized to be forgiven of your sins. That's not a lot to ask. And then follow him faithfully, always responding to the knocking of your Lord. And if you wander away, you stop doing what the Lord asks, come back home, asking for forgiveness as you repent of that sin. Can we help you in any way? If so, come as we stand together and sing. There's a
a few moments, there'll be an opportunity for those that didn't get a chance to partake of the communion and the Lord's Supper this morning to do so in just a couple of moments. And before we have that opportunity, we'll sing number 238. You are the
words of the music. You are the song.
Before we begin, does anybody need the communion set that didn't have one or didn't get one already? If you'll raise your hand, they'll be brought to you. We have this opportunity now for those that didn't have the opportunity this morning, weren't able to partake of the Lord's Supper, to do so, still being the first day of the week. Memorial set up almost 2,000 years ago that has yet to deteriorate. And if this world stands another 2,000 years, will not deteriorate even at that point. We have two elements, unleavened bread and fruit of the vine. Two elements of the Jewish Passover meal. And Jesus used them to set up his memorial for us to remember him until he comes again. Let's pray for the bread. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity that these now have to commune with you, to partake of these elements, to partake of this bread, as it brings to their minds the broken, beaten, lacerated, humiliated body of Jesus Christ. We pray that each one that partakes of this now will examine themselves and that the way we partake of it is in accordance with your will. We ask you to bless it, bless each one that now partakes of it in his memory. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Jesus then took the cup and he blessed it, told them to partake of it. He said, "This represents my blood." I always try to remind people that he didn't just shed his blood on the cross. He lost a good bit of blood before he even got there, through the scourging, through the beatings that he took. Let's keep this in mind as we continue. Father in heaven, we continue our thanks at this time for this fruit of the vine, which brings to our minds the blood that your Son shed leading up to the cross where he was crucified. Again, we pray that we examine ourselves and partake of these elements in a way pleasing in your sight. We ask you to bless this fruit of the vine as it brings to each one's mind that blood that was shed for our sins. In Christ's name we pray, amen. That concludes our observance of the Lord's Supper, but as a matter of convenience, we use this time as well. If those have the opportunity to give on the first day of the week, whether online or in the baskets in the rear, we need to examine ourselves. You can't outgive God. That's just a fact. But what I give back to him, do I give it willingly? or do I grudge it just a little? Am I excited to give back a portion of what's really, it's just his already, and we're giving it back to him? Let's pray. Father, you've given us so many things. We can't breathe without you. Our hearts won't beat without you. We can't wake up without you. We can't get through our day without you. We pray that as we give back a portion of what you've blessed us with, that it'll come from good and honest hearts, hearts that have been prepared, hearts that have purposed to give that portion back to you of what's already yours. We pray that you'll bless it. May it be used wisely in the furtherance of your kingdom. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
I have the closing prayer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we know that you know what we need. Unfortunately for us, we can't always see with your eyes. So open our eyes that we might see better what we need rather than what we want. And while we're at it, open our ears so that when your voice calls, we hear and we come at your call. Some of us are hard of hearing as we get older, but we want to hear the knock on the door when you come. So help us to listen to you, listen carefully, so that when you show us opportunity or when you show us the way to go, that we don't close our eyes, close our heart, and close our ears, but we say, Lord, here am I, send me. For it is in your Son's name we pray. Amen. I have no announcements. See you on Wednesday.